Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it's fair to say from our text today that it's better to be a low life than to be a no life. Now you might think I'm getting into the political fray, Trump versus Omarosa, but I'm not, I assure you. It's not the context for my phrase. Nor am I an advocate for the low-life lifestyle. By the way, there is a low-life lifestyle on the web. It's for mini trucks who go low, not the kind of lifestyle you're thinking of. A low-life normally is a derogatory term for a person who is considered morally unacceptable. Examples of people often labeled as a low-life: thieves, panhandlers, drug dealers, sexual abusers, pimps, prostitutes, scammers, and substance abusers. Now again, I do not advocate for their lifestyle. And you probably don't advocate for their lifestyle either. And Jesus does not advocate for their lifestyle. But let us remember that Jesus spoke that powerful word of his blood-bought forgiveness to the thief who was next to him on the cross. Jesus spoke with the prostitute and made her whole again by giving her the gift of forgiveness, saying, "Neither do I condemn you." And he followed up by saying, "Go and sin no more." Matthew the tax collector and Zacchaeus the vertically challenged tax collector, they were both scammers. They cheated people when collecting tax money. Yet Jesus says to Matthew, "Follow me," and to Zacchaeus, "Today I'm coming to your house." Lowlifers were recipients of God's mercy in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Highlifers often rejected Jesus, some of them because of Jesus' fellowship with the lowlifers. Never judge Jesus by the friends he keeps. No one, not even God, not even Jesus, advocates for the low-life lifestyle. But it is better, shall we say, to be a believing low-lifer who turns in repentance and faith to Jesus than to be a no-lifer. In our text today, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Many found that to be an odd statement. Many thought, "You mean unless I get my life together and make up for all the bad things that I've done, then I'll have life in heaven." Many thought, "Unless I find the Holy Grail, or unless I stand against all the atheists and all the idolaters, unless I discredit the naysayers, unless I sacrifice my life savings to the religious establishment, unless I pray a little prayer to the big guy upstairs now and then, and then I'll prove that I've got some life in me, and I pray it's enough on the last day." No. That would be robbing God's grace. For God gave Jesus as a gracious act, a gift for lowlifers. He raises up the lowlifers who sit in the stench of sin by giving them his life in exchange for theirs. He will raise them up on the last day. You must eat the flesh of the Son of Man. That is, you must believe in God's grace that covers all your sins. You must believe that his blood has life for you low-lifers, the soul and the body. "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." But he goes on. He raises the reality a step further when he said, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." What can this mean? In light of the fact that on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body, In the same way, he took a cup and he said, "This is the blood of the New Testament poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. And I in him," whereas we might say, "You are what you eat." Now you know what I mean when I say it is better to be a low-lifer than a no-lifer. Without Jesus, there is no life. Because without Jesus, there is no gracious gift to cover all your sins and failures. Without Jesus, there is no life in you. And so that you know this is real, true, and sure, and God's will for your flesh and blood, he gave you the Lord's Supper, true drink, and true food, not spiritually, but sacramentally, real. Hear God's presence, taste, see, touch it, drink it, eat it. It's for you. It's Jesus Christ crucified and risen for your sins. It's the power to overcome death for you. This is life in you. This is Jesus in you. This is the resurrection of the body. This is the life and the world to come. But when many of Jesus' followers heard him say these things about my flesh being real food and my blood being true drink, they said, "Hey, wait a minute. This is a hard saying, Jesus." They were grumbling. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus spoke more words, spirit and life to them. But they recognized, Jesus did, that some of them just would not believe it. He knew who they were. He knew the ones who would betray him. And he turned this business back to his father, saying, "Unless the Father grants it, no one can come to me." After this, he said, "I'd like to report that all the people said, yes, they had a coming to Jesus moment, and they all turned to him, and they stayed with him forever." But no, that's not what happened. It says there was a split. Many people who followed Jesus then stopped, turned, and walked away. John 6:66 is the Bible verse that says many who followed him turned away and walked away. Isn't that funny? John 6:66. Isn't that crazy? What a shame. They just became no lifers. They walked away from the gift of eternal life. They chose the path of relying on their own reason, their own strength, instead of eating the true food of Christ's forgiveness. Jesus turned to the 12 low-lifers who were still there and asked if anyone else wanted to submit their resignation letter. Peter, whom the Father had called and enlightened, Peter, the later on low-life betrayer right before the cross, answered right here with God-given words, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. For such the table is prepared, true food, true drink. Walk with him by faith in God's grace and power for you. You will neither be a low-lifer nor a no-lifer. You will, as the Lord's word says, have life abundant. For where there is life, there's true joy. Receive from his table his gift. It's for us low-lifers. It's the gift of joy and life abundant. In Christ Jesus' name, amen." And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.